Manx Radio's Countryside is brought to you by NFU Mutual.
Hello and welcome to another Countryside programme here on Manx Radio. I'm Simon Clark.
And I'm Kiri Kermode. While heavy horses help shape the Isle of Man and its heritage, I catch up with the Isle of Man Heavy Horse Society ahead of the Royal Manx Show.
I found out more about Horizon EMS, a new medical service that's available for outdoor events, and also Ian Creben, who was showing me round the ferrets at the Southern Show. Plus, I went along to see what was happening at the big polo event in Balaff that was happening at the weekend. Firstly, Kiri, we can't not talk about the weather. It's been nice, but nice for a lot of people, but not for farmers and market gardeners and crop growers.
It's gotten very tricky out there, to say the least, Simon. We're desperate for some rain, and I know that farmers always are complaining about the weather. It's too wet, it's too dry. We are, as farmers, are going to have to adapt. This has been the second year now where we've hit these big dry spells in the middle of summer. I know there's different types of leys out there, herbal leys that have longer roots to reach the water table. I don't know what's going to happen, but this is the way of the world now, and it is really difficult.
Well, the weather certainly didn't hamper the action at the polo event that happened at the weekend at the Dollig in Balaff. The oldest team sport in the world, apparently, is polo. And, of course, the local teams compete regularly here on the Isle of Man. And Fraser Houston is part of the Triskelion Polo Club based here on the Isle of Man. But this event seemed to attract horses, riders and enthusiasts from far afield to our beautiful Isle of Man. Fraser Houston was on hand to tell me more. And I said to him that this event seemed a lot bigger than I'd ever imagined.
It is, yeah. No, it is by an absolute million miles the biggest equestrian event that's ever taken place on the Isle of Man. We had a really good show in last year with some really good teams from the UK, and we've topped it this year. Zero goal was our, which is all done on the players' handicaps, but similar to golf really. But we have. Zero was our highest level last year, and we've got four teams in the two-goal tournament this year. We've got, one, two, three, four, six professional players, I think, come over from the UK. They've turned up with some serious horsepower this year. We've got just short of 80 horses come over on the boat in
really?
The last couple of days, yeah. So, got Tom Bell always turns up. He's got the
that's a fine truck.
That is the largest horse lorry in the UK. It's not actually legal to drive it on the continent, but because it has a rear steering axle, so he can't go to France or Spain or whatever because of the laws there. But 22 horses that has on it is absolutely enormous. Yeah.
So the tournament here then in the Isle of Man, Fraser, is it part of a championship away or just like a thing that you run over on the island?
It's a standalone event. Most polo clubs. There is a series called the Victor Ludorum series, but most tournaments are just sort of standalone tournaments, and you just put together, a team for, the event that you want to go and play in, and then get your team entered and go and play. You can play. There's so many clubs all over the place.
But you said about some professional players here, and then you mentioned handicaps like the golf. Is it the player that's handicapped, or the horses, or
the players? Yeah, no, the players. But 75% of it is the horse, because it doesn't matter how good you are at hitting the ball. If somebody else's horse is faster at getting there every time, it doesn't make any difference how well you hit it if you're always beaten to the ball. So, yeah, horsepower is a massive part of it. And being a great rider, it certainly helps.
I mean, it is the only sport that you have to play completely right-handed. But
yes.
I see that some of them do put the mallet over the top of the horse to play it from the other side. That's okay?
Yeah, you can play the ball. There's a whole set of rules governing what plays you're allowed to make on the ball, all based around safety. So you don't want to be running along hitting the ball and then someone come across at 90 degrees and you end up with crashes and bad accidents and things like that. So yeah, there's a whole set of rules around. It might look chaotic out there, but there is there is a method to what's going on.
And I noticed as well, we've had the World Cup in the football, a bit of shoulder to shoulder. I've seen the horses get very close as well.
It's a full contact sport. Yeah. So we got, it's called riding off. But you have to be shoulder to shoulder and you can't come in at any more than 45 degrees. It's physical, and the horses do, get stuck right in, and some of them, you'll see them, they get their ears back and they get stuck in, and they enjoy their playing, and they don't want to get pushed around.
They look as though they're enjoying it out there, and the other thing, I think I read that they don't continually play the same horse as well.
No. So you have to have, to play in a match, which is this level is four chuckers, you have to have at least two horses. So a horse can only play in two chuckers in the same match.
Chuckers, what is it, 7 minutes you're playing today?
Seven and a half minutes. So you've got 7 minutes and then you have 30 seconds after that. But it's 7 minutes of continuous play. So when the whistle stops, the timer stops. When the whistle goes, the timer stops. So it's actually seven minutes of play, not 7 minutes of time,
Yeah. When you, obviously people who've not played it but can ride horses, I mean, is it scary the first time? I've ridden horses, but do you have to lean over the side of it quite a lot, or can you stay fairly upright?
You can stay fairly upright. You don't want to lean any further than you can hold on at, because that'll be it. And the art of riding is keeping the horse between you and the floor.
But it's really, it's a game, I suppose. You're a bit stuck if you haven't got a horse. But in the Triskelion Club over here, you do have days where people can come and have a go at it as well, don't you?
We don't operate the same as we used to. We used to have a big polo school, and both myself and my brother worked at the club full time. But basically after COVID, it just absolutely crippled us, because we had 17 or 20 I think hire ponies at the time, which we did lessons with and whatever, and they obviously still needed feeding, still needed shoeing, still needed keeping, and all of the bills stayed and all the overheads, all the money coming in disappeared. It was really tough, and we had to restructure more as a club than a polo school, as we were before. But anyone who's interested in playing, if they get in touch with us, we'll certainly do our best to try and help them along. And all of the players here on the island, most had never ridden before, and no one had ever owned a horse before, so they were all sort of brought on by us.
Also, the people that are here today from all different parts of the UK and the borders around the British Isles here, have you seen many of them before? Are they sort of good to come back?
Yeah, I know we do. Once they come over, we put on a good show here, and our grounds are genuinely absolutely lovely. There is a serious, serious problem across with the drought situation. I heard the other day that there's one polo club that's just shut the doors. Their pitches aren't safe to play on.
Is it too firm?
And it's not safe for the horses. It's not safe for the people. So they've just basically said there's no polo in August. Which is bad news for them, because that you obviously need that money to the upkeep for the grounds, and then the grounds are going to get. The grounds are going to get hammered even worse than normal, so they're going to need even more money spending on them, but with less income, so it's going to be difficult. But even the top clubs, Cirencester Park, I heard the other day that they run out of water for their irrigation system, there's a lot of clubs that are really, really struggling.
This, looking out over the pitch, is a beautiful setting, but it looks massive, Fraser. Is it big compared to the others?
It is. We're full length here. There are other grounds that are not quite full length. We're blessed with the facilities here. The guys when they arrived, the first thing they said when they got out the trucks, they were like, bloody hell, we haven't seen a pitch that looks like that for months. Yeah.
That's a nice credit to everyone here keeping the ground and yourselves for organising this.
I do all that work. I'm the groundsman as well, yeah.
So, excellent.
Proud of it.
J- just watching this, it's incredible. That there's no height limit then where the ball, I've just seen it go about 50 foot in the air there. It's pot luck if you get out of the way.
Yeah, no, there's we've got a couple of guys here. That was actually my brother Cameron that made that shot. It's something when he connects with one at full tilt, like it travels. You don't want to get hit in the back by it. I can tell you that firsthand. I've had one of them straight into the middle of my back before, and my God, it hurt.
Yeah. But the acceleration the horses have got is incredible from zero up to that speed. So
a lot of the horses playing this weekend, not all of them, but there's a lot of them will be specifically bred for polo, which, you know, there's a decent chunk of thoroughbred in them. And then like I got two full thoroughbreds that are X-race horses that I'm playing. There'll be a lot of X-race horses around here this weekend that are playing.
You know, they don't look overly big.
No, so you can't have anything that's too big.
But you must be proud of everyone that's involved in this today, and you've got some quite a few dignitaries on the front row there as well watching.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, no, it's really, and we're sold out tomorrow for Ladies' Day. All the tickets for the marquee are all sold out. People are still welcome to come down, but it's just that they won't. You know, there's no more tickets available for the VIP area. But we've got a bar, Rod Mindell, are running the bar for us. Doing a super job, and it's just a beautiful place, and what a day. There's nothing else like this on the Isle of Man. You know, you've got the TT, but there's only so many motorbikes you can watch, and this is something completely different, you know. So yeah, it seems to be catching on, and you know, hopefully with more local businesses getting involved in the corporate day, it's a brilliant way to either reward staff, or, you know, have a day out with clients. You know, it's nice to, you know, put something back in, you know, and you can have a table, write them down. You never know, you might even close a deal or something, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but it is, it's a great setting for entertaining people, you know. And the team that run the marquee do an absolutely phenomenal job. I can't accept any credit for that whatsoever.
Fraser Houston at the big polo event that happened at the Dollag in Balaff over the weekend and just before. And what a wonderful sight it was. The marquee, the area, you know, it was in pristine condition, a little bit dry, but everyone who came over with their horses were really praising the event and the marquees that were there. There was food on hand, the little grandstands and seats. It was very, very well run. A good event. And if you're thinking of going to something like that the next time it's on, go. It's well worth it.
This is it. Fraser and his team work really hard through the winter to keep them horses in good fettle, and also the grounds as well. You know, the going on the Isle of Man can be very variable, but to have it perfect for a day like that, a huge event, huge success. Well done to them all.
It's a very good event indeed. Right, well, talking about the ponies that they call them in, of course, polo, you were dealing with some larger horses.
Indeed, I was. I caught up with the chairman of the Isle of Man Heavy Horse Society, Ned Kenyick, to see how things were going this year after the Southern District Show and ahead of the Royal Manx, but also after the very special visit from King Charles himself.
I would say it's us that wants to get involved with society to keep the name of the horses and the part they played in agriculture in the Isle of Man over time. And I would like to continue that as long as I can. We're up against a big obstacle, and that is the diminishing number of horses that are available. And there's not a lot they can do with that. The demise of the Carouche family's interest has been a big blow. But hopefully, judging by the South Show this year and the King's visit, the tramways are coming back now. They've got a good stable, they've got good horses, and if we can keep them on side and keep their horses in the limelight, it'll help the movement along.
And what a picture them horses were, Ned. My goodness.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the public appreciate it. Not everybody realises what's involved. There's a picture appeared on Facebook this morning when I took the pair of horses in the tram for the first time. And Jeremy said to me one day, he said, "Do you think you could take a pair of horses in the horse tram?" And I said, "Certainly." He says, "Hang on, don't you need time to think about that?" I said, "No, not at all." I said, "I wouldn't have said yes if I didn't think I could have done it." And, you know, I got immense pleasure. I'm talking about myself here, and I should curtail that. But I got immense pleasure being able to demonstrate that I could do that. And And I'm still quietly pleased that I was able to illustrate that. And now they're going ahead. They've grasped that particular nettle, and there are other drivers now picking it up and doing a good job. So what we've got to recognise while we're on the horse trams, when I went to work on the horse trams, there was the majority of the staff were ex-farmers.
I see. Well, naturally, that would probably be the progression, I suppose.
Of course it would.
They you know, they shaped the Isle of Man as workhorses.
Yes, indeed. And they'd been involved with horses all their lives. And the foreman was a horseman from Cronkavody, Stevie Strickett. And I could, I suppose I could list 20 farmers that came to work, and they were all competent horsemen. You know, they had a different. When I went to work there first, I'll tell you this, then I'll stop. They tell me that I was using the wrong language.
Never?
Yeah.
And how did they see that?
They said to me, this is not the language we use in the tramways. I said, well, you're going to have to get used to it. But anyway, that's beside the point. What I'm saying, we have to try and embrace everybody and everything if we can get out into the country. I've got plans to hold community events. We want to get some money in the kitty. We've got a bit in the kitty. We're not hard up. But we want to get some money in the kitty, because if these young handlers are going away to represent us in various competitions, we want to be able to sponsor them with some financial help. And I'm thinking about having, you know, I've missed the opportunity now. We're going to have a celebration of the harvest in the field, and a harvest tea, lunch, whatever you want to call it. Gordon Clegg had agreed to come and give it not too religious a service, but to give it the right context. And I got a ghetto blaster from Ray Sloan that would play all the hymns that we needed. We didn't need to transport an organ or anything. And it was all arranged. I'm thinking we will have a bachelor's ball in the winter time. They were things that were common in the community at one time. We've got the services of a master saddler who has agreed to come and give an open demonstration to. Now, everybody that's got horses has got harness. Mm-hmm. So they'll want, if not to repair or make, they'll want to know how to maintain it, how to look after it. So she's agreed to come and give us a demonstration one evening. So we're trying to keep these events alive in the community, and we will use whatever means we can to advertise it, because it's no good just saying you're going to have a tea fete in Cronkavody Club Room next Tuesday if you don't tell anybody about it.
No. And this is it, like you say, in raising funds for these young ones to go away. You know, the World Clydesdale Show is coming back to Britain in 2028, going to be held in Aberdeen. Yeah. You know, these are the things that obviously you want funding for and the children to go to.
And we should be starting to get ready for that now. Mm-hmm. It's no good starting a fortnight before.
And I think you did get started today. When I popped down here at Port Greenock, there's a young lady doing a little bit of handling. That knowledge from you to her, though, Ned, priceless.
You wouldn't realise how much pleasure I give passing this knowledge on. I was saying, the judge last week at the South Show said the handlers were deficient in one area, in as much as they weren't talking enough to the horses. So I've been getting it into these young ones when they've been coming down here, and I've been saying to her, talk to the horse, whatever you want. She said, what do I need to say? Whatever. I said, tell her what your homework was last night, what you had for tea, where you're going tomorrow, you bought a new pair of shoes, anything at all, doesn't matter, because nobody is going to pull you up, and don't feel embarrassed. I said, and keep it as a conversation, because there will be times when you've got to correct the horse when she's doing something wrong. And if she does something wrong, I say, don't be afraid to shout at her, because I do, but sometimes I use expletives. But you don't have to do that. But I said, but just try and make a conversation. I said, do you know any nursery rhymes? She said, I do. So I said, try and make a conversation. Today, when I'm listening to her, she's singing Ba Ba Black Sheep to the...
Well, this is it, isn't it? You've got to get that connection with whatever animal you're working with. You know, young handlers comes across the board, the sheep young handlers, dairy class young handlers. It's no different with the horses. And it's lovely to see it's finally coming to the fore. But not only that, though, Ned, this year, the young farmers, the Southern Young Farmers, had the the equine stock judging. Now, equine was never around when I was younger, but to see this coming back now, my goodness, the shed was packed full of young ones.
It was an excellent... I never expected... I thought Caesar never explained it fully to me when he asked me, and I thought we were just going to be an added attraction. I thought there was going to be cows and sheep there. I didn't realise that it was going to be all horses. And when we got there, the yard was full of young people, and they were all interested. They all wanted to be part of the occasion. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, there's criticism and condemnation of the youth of today. Most of the youth are genuine and want to learn, want to help. You've got to give them the opportunity. And that's what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to keep it alive so as they've got the opportunity. The opportunity is there for them. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to do. And I think we're doing quite well, judging by the response we're getting to what we're doing. We've got a good committee now. Our committee it's been reformed. And Jessica Clegg is doing a wonderful job as secretary. Michael Crellin's daughter, Samantha, she's treasurer. And she's doing Rob Klein's. I didn't know him before. He's a friend of we've got a couple of ladies come down here who volunteer to help us. And that's a good job because I'm nearly finished with it. I got criticised at the South Shore last year. The judge came over from England, a fella called Terry Edge. And after we'd trotted the horses out and got back to him, he said to me, "You've got a problem."
Oh, dear.
I said, "What's that?" He said, "Your horse is fitter than you are."
Well, I wonder what way you took that.
I said, "So she should be. She's younger than me."
But that is it, isn't it? You know, these beasts are massive. They look wonderful going around the show rings. The Grand Parade at the Southern Show was packed. We're looking forward to the Royal. Yeah. Be a good turnout again there, Ned?
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is the shop window of the Isle of Man. This is the cream of the stock. This is what we're all about. And I've got one particular beef, and I think I've lost the argument.
Oh, no.
But I think we should be having a sit-down dinner at the Royal Show. I do. We used to have that. We used to have that. And what a better way could you get of advertising Manx produce? Spuds, milk, ice cream, bread, whatever you want. But there are regulations that will put a damper on that, and getting the staff is not always easy now either. But
maybe the Heavy Horse Society may have a dinner yet. If these numbers still increase and the team are doing a good job, that social media, the Facebook page for the Isle of Man Heavy Horse Society is really wonderful.
There's a lot of enthusiasm, and I try to, the same as the young handlers, I try at the committee meetings to, sometimes it's not always easy. Sometimes you've got to, I've got to hold back sometimes and not say what I want to say. You know what that's like.
But this is it. It's that knowledge transfer, isn't it? From generation to generation. And this, the Isle of Man Heavy Horse Society, is no different from any other sports club or club around the Isle of Man.
Get your enthusiasm across to the public. Most times they will respond, but you've got to make an effort to get them involved. The days when we could get thousands of people coming to a plough match, they're gone. And you've got to adapt a different mantra because they're still there. They just need asking to come and treat them with respect. Give them what they want when they get there. Don't rip them off when they want an ice cream.
And that said, Ned, we obviously, the Isle of Man Heavy Horse Society has a membership. People can get involved. They just have to get in touch with Jessica, I'm assuming.
Yes, Jessica is very helpful. And better than that, she can act on her own initiative. She doesn't need me or the committee to tell her what to do. And you wouldn't realise what an asset that is to a club when you've got somebody who's enthusiastic like that, who can convey the mood of the meeting to the public without being told, without having a script. And she can do that quite well. And we're blessed that we've got somebody like that.
Brilliant.
So, the enthusiasm we've got will carry us through for quite a while. As I say, we're going to have fundraising efforts during the winter to get a bit of money in the kitty. If these young handlers are going to go away, we need to have some money that we can help to sponsor them to go, to keep them on side. And that's the way we're going at the moment. But things are good. Things are on the up. I don't know I don't know what our next event will be yet. We'll have a debriefing after the show, and that will be good, because they're only all good reports coming off the shows.
And I hope you got your brasses ready. Are they all polished? We're only days away now, Ned.
You're never ready. You're never, you know that. You're never ready. There's always panic on show day. There's always panic on show day.
Well, these ones can come and have a yarn on you at the show. Come look for the big heavies and come and have a word.
These young handlers, what their mothers were saying, there was one of them, what time did she say she was up in the morning? 6 o'clock, ready to go to the show.
Isn't that wonderful?
Absolutely. And that's the sort of enthusiasm you want. You can't buy that. No, you can't. You've got to engender it and then treat it with respect and fetch it along with you, because they're the next caretakers of this movement.
This is it. Well, I hope you're up at 6 o'clock on show day, Ned, otherwise there'll be trouble.
You don't go to sleep. You know what it's like. You know what it's like showing. You don't go to sleep that night. You don't. And everything is hyperactive. And, you know,
do you still get the excitement that you did when in the younger years gone by? Do you still get that buzz?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The only thing you've got now, and what I'm saying to the young handlers, it's a big step for them to step into the ring, because the ring is surrounded by experts. Everybody knows better than you do, and they've got to face that. Now, I've gone through that, and I can be a little bit blasé about them and say it doesn't matter what you think. But it takes you a little while to get... Don't be arrogant about it. Don't be arrogant about it, because you can learn something. One of these horses, when I was going to her out in the field, she was turning her head away from me, and I said to Sylvia, have you been beating this horse about the head?
Goodness me!
And she said, why would I need to? Well, I said, well, she turns her head away from me when I go to put her head colour on. And she said, aye, I've noticed that. And the answer come to me in bed one morning, and I thought, I think I know what's wrong with her. And when I got up, I went out the field, and I found the answer right away. She's got a weak eye.
Never.
And she was turning her good eye
to have a look at you.
Yes. It just shows the point. Every day is a school day. You know, you think you know it all, but that's dangerous.
This is it.
If you think you know it all, you're in a dangerous territory.
Well, it'll be good to see you on show day, Ned, giving that confidence to the next generation. And, well, I hope you're confident when you go into the show ring still.
I am. And try to give a good account of yourselves. The judge very seldom gets it right.
Don't be telling them that.
They very seldom get it right, but he's there to do a job, and he does it to the best of his ability. And we have to present the stock in front of them and let him do the best he can. And hopefully that appeases the public. And usually it does. Sometimes he comes unstuck. Sometimes. But the first time I got drawn up into the Grand Parade, that was the highlight of my career, because I said to them then, I said, I've been competing in this class for about 40 years and this is as high up as I've got. And I said, I'm over the moon that I've got this far. I said, the only pity I have is that my brother is not here to see it. John had died by this time. I said, the only pity of it is that John is not here to see it, because he used to give me a lot of... John was an avid supporter of the Royal Mount. John was telling the people to come to Tynwald Fair one day. The sun is cracking the flags at St. George. The rain was coming horizontal.
Oh, he could paint a beautiful picture, could John? What a man. We miss him badly.
But those are the sort of things we want. Those are the sort of connection we want with the public. I've got a son who plays football for Peel, and I'm saying to him, you're not getting it quite right. And he said, what am I getting wrong? I said, you've all got faces twisted up in rage and argument and clenched fists and expletives. I said, you're supposed to be enjoying yourself.
Well, let's hope you enjoy yourself on Saturday.
Well, that's what you try to do. It's no good getting worked up and that spoils it. And Helen Masson said that anxiety, well, you know a bit about this, travels down the rope.
Does it? And if you're nervous, the sheep's nervous, or
yes,
the beast's
right,
nervous.
That's right.
They can feel it.
Yes, well, that's what you've got to try and get through. But I'm at the risk of sounding monotonous, I'll come back to say what a pleasure it is to be training the young, the next generation. I haven't got too many sunsets left, and I hope I can pass most of or some of what I've got, not most. You know, I've got up here, I've got a book written, and it's an autobiography of my life.
It's time to get the pen out then, isn't it?
No, I can't do joined up writing.
I'm sure somebody can. AI can. You just tell it to the AI and it'll type it all out for you.
I was splitting spudridges with a single horses when I was still going to primary school. And I thought for years I was a wonderful horseman. I never realised. She knew more than I did. If she didn't want to do it, she could have pissed off and left me floundering. But she didn't, and she helped. And that's the unfair advantage I've got, because I had access to that sort of tuition. And I was never taught how to do any of this. I was never taught. I was shown, and I was expected to muck in. I told your father what your uncle said, what Dougie Kermit said. Just when the kids is ready to start work, they got to go to school. And he wasn't joking. He wasn't joking. My boys went to work at Anderson's at Ballymore, and they were still going to primary school. And I said to David one day, are they in the way? Are they a nuisance? And he said, oh, no. He said, I can send them down to get the cows in and leave the men on the field sowing corn. And you can see the practicality of that. And that's why I say we must encourage the young people to come forward and let them make some mistakes. They will make mistakes. Damn it all, we all made mistakes along the road. But you learn far more from making a mistake than you do from getting it nearly right. You remember a mistake and think to yourself, I won't let that happen again. One of these girls, the horse stood on her foot one day. And I said, is it sore? She said, yes. But the next time she comes, is your foot all right? Yes. She says, I know to keep it out of the way now. And she's learned without me telling her. And that's how it is. And no, I'm pleased with the way it's progressing. The club, the young handlers, the effect we're hoping to portray on the public. And look out, we'll be asking for your support in the future to help us continue the work.
There we go. That was the chairperson of the Isle of Man Heavy Horse Society, Ned Kenyuk.
Oh, he's the man to talk to about the heavy horses, isn't he? Just, he's so caring. Treats them like fellow human beings, like most horse owners, doesn't it?
This is it. He's been around horses all his life, and like he says there, they help shape the Isle of Man in their working capacity, but also the heritage that they've created also with the Isle of Man tramway on the promenade. But to see them in all of that glory in front of His Majesty the King was just wonderful, a real nod to the past. But there's been a fresh attitude to the Isle of Man and the Heavy Horse Society, with younger members getting involved in this year's AGM in January. And now they're putting on young handler events. They're trying to zuzz up the heavy horse around the Isle of Man in this really important year.
It certainly is. And well done to all of the young ones there getting involved with something like that. Because, you know, if the young people don't take over the reins, so to speak, you know, it's something. And the important heritage that you mentioned would be lost.
Totally.
You're listening to Countryside here on Manx Radio with Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark. Well, whilst I was at the Southern Show a couple of weeks back, I met up with Ian Creben. He was there with, a lot of ferrets that were on display. Misunderstood animals by a lot of people, but of course their heritage goes back a long way, as Ian told me.
We've been doing this show now for about 26 years. We do the tractor show at Castletown. So it's just to educate people, really.
Has it been part of most of your life?
Yeah, I've had ferrets for years. They're all working ferrets as well, like, you know, we do catching rabbits with them. So we may be coming tomorrow, he'll have more ferrets as well. So.
But me growing up on a farm years ago in the sort of late 60s, early 70s, there was a lot of the farmers had ferrets in cages,
yeah.
Wasn't there?
Oh, aye, yeah. Well, rabbits were good meat, like, you know, it was, especially in the wartime, it was rations on meat, and lots of fellas over here were ferreting or they're out lamping, catching rabbits, and they used to sell them to Liverpool. They'd be sent
really?
Away in tea chests, yeah. It used to be a fellow in Colby, they used to call him Ned the Rabbit, and he used to buy them off other fellas and send them away to Liverpool, and they reckon he'd bought 3 farms on the proceeds of it. Whether it was true or not, I don't know.
It's incredible to, you know, the struggles that there are today, and yet it seems such a simple exporting thing that was going on in them days.
Yeah, they were just packed in, you know, the rabbits were gutted, and then they just packed in TGS and sent in the boat to Liverpool, like, you know, and because you couldn't get meat in the wartime, like, you know. And rabbit is a rabbit is a vegetarian, you know, lots of people love chicken and all the rest of it. I wouldn't eat it myself because they'll eat anything. They'll go on a dung heap or anything, you know, peck at a carcass. Mm. But a rabbit is a vegetarian, and they reckon it's more protein in rabbit than a chicken.
Really?
But because people class them as furry, cuddly things, they don't want to eat them. Like, you know, but
I mean, can you sort of compare them a little bit with cats, that they can be domesticated, or are they always sort of wild?
You know, it'll always be such a wildness about them. People do have them as pets, like, you know. Even the Americans have clothes for them.
Really?
But you don't want to go there. Yeah. Like, but if you have them from young, like 8 weeks old, when they're young and they're well handled, and if you just got one of them on their own, and they'll latch onto you better, you know, than having a pair of them or something like that, you know. But it's just mainly handle them, you know. Some people they won't feed them meat either. We get a special biscuit which we have there for them, but we only use it for the shows, or if you forget to get something out of the freezer, like, you know. But they're mainly fed on rabbits, like, you know.
But you've never lost your enthusiasm for them?
No. As they, me and my mate are the, like, if anything to do with ferrets, we're the go-to people on the island, kind of thing. Even the MSPCA come to us for. If they've got ferrets, they don't know anything about, like, you know. So even the vets don't know an awful lot about them either, you know.
But I mean, how many different types are there?
Well, people think the dark ones are polecats and the white ones are ferrets, but they're all polecat ferrets, really. A proper original ferret, they're like 18 inches long, and they're only found up in the hills of Wales. So everything now you see are polecat ferrets mixed, even though the wild ones out in the wild, like. But if you're seeing them out in the wild in the daytime, they're either an escape pet one or there's something wrong with them, because they're nocturnal hunters. So you'd only see them at night, you know, like crossing a road or something. But if we're breeding them, and it's only if we want to breed, you know, we always make sure there's nothing getting interbred on the island. You know, my mate goes away and he'll get a different strain of them, you know, so, because a lot of the wild ferrets, they get interbred and then they get problems with them, you know.
There'd be no tails on them.
Yeah, it could be. Or 3 legs. The Manx ones.
Ian Creven there telling me all about the ferrets that were on display at the Southern Show a couple of weeks back. And Kiri, misunderstood creatures, because they were a big part, as Ian was saying, of people growing up around the countryside, with the rabbiting and things like that. You know, it was there wasn't much money about, and they could make a little bit for themselves because of it.
Well, this is it. I can remember ferrets being around when we were younger, but not so much these days, like you say. And it was the simple things in life then, wasn't it? You know, the rabbits were a pest for the crops and all the rest of it. So it was that circle of life almost to get rid of them. But it's so lovely to see them there. They're quite scary when you go up to them, but are just loving, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And and you know, you think of the polecats and the ferrets and everything like that. Some describe them as a bit of a nuisance, but you say, as you said, it's the circle of life, isn't it?
Of course.
Well, you'll remember a few weeks back, I was at the Children's Centre on the Old Castletown Road. I spoke to one or two people there. I also noticed an emergency vehicle on display, I thought, but it was there for a purpose. And it's run by Horizon EMS. And I went along for a chat with Peter and Michael, the directors, and I asked them, is it in operation and is this a pretty new adventure?
So we're a new independent ambulance service based on the island, for the island, basically. So the intention are event medical cover, independent ambulance services, first aid training, and everything within the business that is based solely around supporting the island. So, for example, we're here today at the Children's Centre, which is one of our charitable causes that we're going to be supporting throughout this year and hopefully into next year, where we'll look to come to their events and support sort of everything that the Children's Centre does.
So how did you get sort of started?
So it was all based around how we can support the island with NHS standard care within the private sort of sector in the independent ambulance area. And the basis is to, as I say, provide the same level of care that you would receive if you rang 999 and had a Manx Care or an NHS ambulance, but bring that to community events where people can receive sort of first aid of varying levels with the ability that they can still be transported to the hospital in an emergency standard vehicle.
Yeah, I suppose with all the pressures that people talk about with the Manx Care and the NHS and things like that, and they can't get to every event on the Isle of Man. And is it fair to say that the sort of service that you're providing here, it's something that if you have an outside event, a lot of the time you've got to have medical cover?
Yeah, so certainly a lot of the insurance requirements for certain events, so a lot of motorsport events and certainly large public events, it's certainly recommended that they have a level of medical cover. There is in the UK something called the Purple Guide, which sets out exactly what requirements are needed for each event. So it'll say whether you need doctors, ambulances, first aid staff, and the level of cover that's required with that. That is not in place on the island, however, it's something that us as a company use as like a gold standard basis to follow. So we would run all events through the Purple Guide to make sure that they are meeting sort of like the gold standard of care for events.
Right, and talk us through the vehicles here. Looks the part here, the vehicles, fully equipped like the normal ambulance service has?
Absolutely, yeah. So we have two of these vehicles equipped to the same level as one of the Manx Care ambulances, all the same sort of level of equipment. We carry the similar sort of drugs, extrication equipment and things that we might need at any moment.
Yeah. And is it sort of exciting, you know, being, obviously, hopefully nothing happens, but when you're out and about at these community events, is it something that you've both been looking forward to?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we work for IMAS anyway, so we work on the ambulances that go around the ambulance around the island on any sort of 999 style call. This just gives us a chance to do something with the community to support charities and things like that. And as I say, provide that same level of cover. But events like today, I mean, this is our launch event. We're excited to be here, excited to show the kids around the ambulances and get them comfortable with something that's usually quite scary for children.
But going forward on this, I mean, if people, you know, what sort of events would you cover, all sorts? And how would people get in contact with you if they would need emergency cover at their event?
So you can give us a call on 264999, which is our company phone number. And you can also have a look at our website, which is horizonems.co.uk. All of our contact information is on there, the ability to request a quote, look at what we can cover. We're open to covering any event you can think of. Come to us, we can have a look, and if it's something that we can't do, we'll be honest with you from the very beginning and maybe point you in the right direction of some other organisations that would be able to support specific types of events.
Well, it's brilliant to see something new that's so valuable here on the Isle of Man, and the dedication you've put together by the sound of it to get this underway, because it can't be an easy thing to start up.
No, I mean, there's so much to it. Things like policies, hours and hours of time spent writing those. The equipment can be a little bit more difficult to get onto the island. Things like the ambulances, it's been a challenge, but certainly one that we think will be valuable to the island, or we hope will be.
And now you're going, feeling a bit more chilled?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, good luck, guys, and thanks for talking to us today.
No, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Peter and Michael, the directors of Horizon EMS, who supply the emergency vehicles for any of the outdoor events here on the Isle of Man. And it's a great event. Well, it's the way that health and safety has gone. You've got to have something there. And they've took the plunge and gone and, you know, gone in there. So well done to the guys.
Absolutely. It's more the merrier on that front. You never know the minute, do you? And we've got so many people attending these outdoor events, whether they're bicycles, motorbikes, horses, you know, just events that are held in the outdoors. They're so important. You never know the minute. And we're very fortunate to have people like this that are so selfless and commit to their time helping others.
Yeah, indeed. Great setup as well. Anyway, that's all we've got time for on this week's programme. We'll be at the Royal Manx Agricultural Show this weekend. So next week we'll have bits and pieces from the Royal Show, the judges, the chairmans, the presidents, and the Rose Bowl winners and runners-up all on the day. Until then, from me, Simon Clark.
I'm Mickey Rickermans.
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.